We are back.
Welcome
back.
Who are we?
We are the Brian Park Project from NPR News.
Oh, good. I forgot.
Yeah. Online all the time at npr.org/Brian Park. And I would like now to clarify the remarks I made about the Albanians. The Albanians are fine people. Jim Belushi, John Belushi, Elijah Dushku. I've been to many Albanian-American fundraising events. I did not mean to insult the Albanian people. I was trying to insult the Albanian government, a government that was felled by a pyramid scheme. I think that tells you all you need to know. If it sounds like I'm rambling, it's because we've come to the part of the show that called for such rambling. It's the ramble.
That makes sense.
I wasn't made to do that apology. I really just wanted to clarify. I'm pro-Albanian.
I know you are.
Yeah.
So does everyone else now.
Yeah, okay. Rachel.
Yes,
have you
Mike?
Ever had your cable TV taken away?
Taken away?
Yeah, you know, bad
as
behavior.
A punitive measure? No, yeah. It was actually the reverse of my household because we didn't have cable TV. We had a scrambler on the back of the box. So when we were really good, then my mom would scramble the scrambler so we could get Fraggle Rock.
Scramble fraggled. Well, in a story totally unrelated to that anecdote, a couple kids in Salt Lake City took some interesting measures. Wow, it is related. Sadie and Piper Vance, great names, ages 7 and 9, are suffering from pain at the pump. Here's how it all ties in. Their cable TV privileges were cut because, let me read from a sign that they made, all of my mom's money goes to the gas tank. They spelled money M-O-N-N-Y. They don't have enough money to even buy a vowel. And they said their mom had to cut their cable, C-A-B-E-L. So that's great that they're making signs and making a difference.
Oh,
are they making? I don't know. It's just kind of funny.
Are they being punished because they can't spell?
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused. Anyway, for the first time in world history, there are, get this, 10 million millionaires.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not you or me, I'll tell you that much. That's the count as of last year, according to a report released yesterday by Merrill Lynch and the consulting firm Capgemini Group. And a third of those 10 million millionaires live in these United States.
In these very United States.
In these very.
That would indicate that 1% of the population are millionaires.
That's kind of crazy.
I disagree. I don't think that could be true. Possibly in terms of net worth. Definitely not in terms of income. That's what, yes, I would have to clarify.
Okay. Stay tuned for that, folks. Anyway. The number of millionaires in India is up by 23%, according to this report. China and Brazil are stepping up on the wealthy scale as well. If we put this into context, 10 million people, the millionaires, that is still less than a fifth of the world's population. That's still kind of a lot.
No, it's much less than a fifth. 20%? These numbers are crazy. Let's see, what would 10 million people be? It's like, I don't know.
$1 million in 2007 was worth about, apparently, $762,000 in 1996 dollars. And so there's inflation that adds confusion to the math as well.
I think we maybe mean 1/5 of 1% of the world's population, something like that.
Do you have another story to tell?
Yeah, what
about?
We do is we throw numbers at you. So, okay, let's say you're an older guy working in an office brimming with 20-somethings, okay? And sometimes it's tough to maintain control. Well, what do you do? Well, if you're G.L. Hoffman, a serial entrepreneur and venture investor / operator / incubator / mentor, you write an article in U.S. News & World Report offering some tips. I have a tip for him. Get rid of all those slashes in your title. Anyway, here's what Senior Hoffman suggests if you have to manage an office full of young people. One, be yourself. Don't try to be one of the kids. Two, transparency is key. Young employees want to know what's happening. Three, add value. As long as you're adding value to them and their skills, you're okay. Choose to ignore this and they will leave you for someone who will. Four, let them use their media. Facebook, MySpace, IM. Okay. Five, they want to trust. They want to trust you and their workplace. They want to believe in you. Those are all actually really great tips, and I wouldn't have that add value part.
Yeah.
To me, that makes sense. It's not, look, don't expect everyone just to be a drudge. Expect them to get something more out of the workplace. Probably makes a better workplace. But that be yourself tip, in general, that is a horrible tip almost all the time.
Why?
Because everyone is almost always themselves, and I've met half of these people, and they're terrible. So this is the thing. How often is your downfall that you're trying to be someone else? It's that you are yourself, and yourself is not a good guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
Be yourself. When you go on your date, just be yourself. Yeah, that's working out for you. Anyway, take us with the last story, will you?
Okay, it's wedding season. Tying the knot can be pricey, as everyone knows, especially if you do it in a big old ceremony kind of thing. A woman in Virginia Beach has a solution. She's a self-described budding hairstylist, and her fiancé is a roofer. Kelly Gray says she's always fantasized about her wedding day. She just doesn't have enough cash to make it happen. So she's turning to eBay, apparently. She's auctioning off the chance apparently she sees this as a good thing, a chance, the opportunity to be a bridesmaid in her wedding. It looks like it might be working. There have been 51, I cannot believe this, 51 bids so far. Have you ever been a bridesmaid, Mike? It's not that fun.
Never a bridesmaid and never a bride.
Yeah, it's up to $4,250 for the opportunity to do this. The description, you are bidding on an opening to be a bridesmaid in my wedding party, April 19th, 2009, in Virginia Beach, Virginia. There's also a disclaimer on what the cost of being a bridesmaid includes. See, that's the thing, is that you sign on to do this. It's your friend. You feel like you got it. It's an honor. And then you end up dropping all this cash, and the party's not that fun, and you end up, like, saddled with getting people to sign the guest registry.
Who doesn't want a tapioca-colored gown that goes with nothing?
Me.
Yeah.
That's a ramble, folks. Links to these stories and a whole lot more available online at npr.org/Bryant Park.